The way we speak to our children becomes their inner voice.
Is that true?
As a mom, I don't like it at all. But
yeah,
do I
really
think it's true? I think there is definitely an aspect of that internalization that comes from our parents. That doesn't mean we can't transcend that through the power of Jesus Christ. And so thought processing, I find absolutely fascinating. Obviously, the battleground of our mind is where Satan also attacks us. So we have to be cognizant of that. When I'm getting wound up and it's not powering something, when it's not helping anyone, when it's not moving forward, when I'm just on the merry-go-round of anxiety, as we talked about last time, when I've taken my ticket and I just get on and I'm going around and around and around, then we know that anxiety is a real issue. What do we do with it? 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 What do we do with it?
You know what we're about to do? We're about to get real. We're about to have conversations that Christians have behind closed doors, the scary, raw ones, the ones that make you feel uncomfortable. That's where we're going. Why? Because we're family. Ustedes son mi familia.
So this is the Brian and Janelle podcast. She's Janelle and I'm Brian. And if you don't want to miss anything, all you got to do is just hit subscribe and get that notification whenever we drop a new episode. This is the Brian and Janelle podcast. I used to, way back in the day, I taught psychology to high school kids. And whenever I got to abnormal psych, you'd have to start by saying, okay, you're going to hear about these conditions and you're going to think that you have all of them.
Absolutely.
And I think anxiety may be, I mean, because all of us are anxious sometimes, right?
Yeah, it's a normal part of life. Absolutely.
And yet there are those who suffer acutely from anxiety in a much more extreme way. I mean, how do we even, before we get to your, the thought distortions that will bring us there, how would one know whether or not they are just anxious in general versus like dealing with some serious anxiety issues?
Well, it's interesting because we have different personality types that we're attuned to. So some people are more high energy and they sometimes tend to be more prone to anxiety. But when it's non-productive, anxiety is non-productive, and that's very helpful for me to consider. When I'm getting wound up and it's not powering something, when it's not helping anyone, when it's not moving forward, when I'm just on the merry-go-round of anxiety, as we talked about last time, when I've taken my ticket and I just get on and I'm going around and around and around, then we know that anxiety is a real issue. It is common, there's no doubt, and there will be times in all of our lives when we will feel anxious. So the question is, what do we do with it? Do we keep moving around and around, or do we recognize what's going on? Do we surrender it to our Savior? And do we move forward then, hopefully asking him to show us, how can I use this tension productively?
From Fieldstone Counseling, we'll tell you how to find them here a little bit later. Crystal Kershaw, who is the Director of Strategic Initiatives there at Fieldstone Counseling. Thanks for coming back. And now I see what you're saying then. So like if you have a presentation at work and you're anxious about that, you're moving towards it. Mm-hmm. And that's a normal level of anxiety. But if you're just sitting there stewing about something you can't do anything about, that would be more serious clinical type of anxiety.
Right.
I'm using words like I'm a clinical. What do I know? I'm sorry.
I prefer to think of degrees. I prefer to think of degrees because, as I said, I do believe everyone suffers from a level of anxiety. It does help us move. It does help us think about what's next and prepare. So in that setting you're talking about, obviously, if you've prepared and you've rehearsed and you're ready to give your presentation, you're going to feel a little anxious beforehand, but you can tell yourself through your own thoughts, I'm ready, I've prepared, I've done what I can do, this is going to be okay. And most importantly, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it depends on the frame of your thoughts. Now, if that cycle is just, I don't know if I can do this, I'm not sure if I can stand up there, I don't think I really can, then that's anxiety that is not helpful. That degree certainly is going to paralyze you. And that's where anxiety becomes a higher degree, when you get stuck in it, when it's a cycle that you cannot break out of.
Right.
Besides the more specific diagnosed ones and clinical ones, are some people more prone to anxiety and anxiety attacks in a lifetime or not?
Definitely. I think it has a lot to do with the way we process and the way we think mm-hmm. about things. Very interesting study I was just reading about a professor from the University of Reading in the UK, and he was mentioning that in depression, there are word patterns that show up in, for example, people who have really struggled. So he analyzed lyrics from Kurt Cobain and Sylvia Plath's Bell Jar and looked at the word frequency. And he came up with a couple of very fascinating points. One is that, in those sort of words and blogs from people who exhibit depression, and I think anxiety is on the same side of this, you often see personal pronouns, very often. The frequency of personal pronouns is greater than in normal biographies
in your thinking,
or memoirs.
So like, I can't do this, I'm not good enough, mm-hmm. okay.
And then you also see references to negativity very mm-hmm. often. So I think that shows, both in depression and anxiety, these thought patterns that drive us to this particular state often have a lot to do with the way our thoughts are processed, the way we're moving through our life, the way we're seeing things, the way we're framing things, the words that we're associating with it, and of course, our perspective. We're all born with self-focus. We are right. selfish.
Oh, yeah. Look at any kid.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Right. She has 6 kids. I have 5. And it's like, I don't need to teach my kids selfishness. They've got that all wrapped mm-hmm. up from birth.
Even mm-hmm. as an adult and as a mom, it's like, you know that thing I've seen around? It says the way you talk to your children becomes their inner voice. Mm. Oh, my goodness. This just kind of brought it up in my mind. But that's as a mom, but even as an individual, you know, kind of being mindful. I've told Len, like, man, if I really listened to myself, I would not be friends with someone that talks, not mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I can be hard. So I'm thankful you're bringing this up, to be mindful of the way we talk to each other or, you know, speak to ourselves in our thoughts.
Do you like that phrase that goes around? Like,
yeah.
That she was quoting the whole, like, what is it?
The way we speak to our children becomes their inner voice.
Is that true?
As a mom, I don't like it at all, but
yeah,
do I
really?
Think it's true? I think there is definitely an aspect of that internalization that comes from our parents. That doesn't mean we can't transcend that
yes,
through the power of Jesus Christ. And mm-hmm. so thought processing, I find absolutely fascinating. Obviously, the battleground of our mind is where Satan also attacks us, so we have to be cognizant of that. So being able to say, like, where is this coming from? Is that the way that my Lord would speak to myself about mm-hmm. me? Or is that my enemy mm-hmm. who is really attacking me? He seeks to kill and destroy. And so if I'm jumping on the merry-go-round with him, I'm giving him ground. Definitely.
How much of these struggles can be genetic? I've come to my own conclusions on this. And then you have to say, well, is it like biological or is it environmental? Like they learn anxious thinking because they watch you do it versus they just mm-hmm. inherit it. Do we know?
That's an age-old question, that nurture versus nature. And I don't know. Modeling is powerful. There's no doubt about it. But again, we as Christians model our Lord and Savior first. Mm-hmm. We have that ability to transcend our nurture and our nature through the power of Christ in us, because our identity is hidden in Christ. Mm-hmm. When we become a Christian, that is where our key identity elements have to lie. So it's an age-old question. I wouldn't touch that one. I think there are elements of both, but I think they are all transcendable through the power of Jesus Christ in me.
And total confession here. I bring most of these questions up for selfish reasons because Sarah and I, my wife, we have mm-hmm. these conversations because we know that anxiety and depression run in our families. And so mm-hmm. we're trying to be more acutely aware of it and be open with our children about this. And yet I don't want to be the one that like makes them anxious because I'm anxious all the time.
Right.
You see
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
I think it's both and, I guess.
It is. It is. And it's wise to be cognizant of it. Cognizance gives you the ability to, you know, fight those thought distortions that are going to come up And even in terms of your modeling, to be able to say, I'm sounding very negative right now. Mm-hmm. I really need to change the way I approach this. Or and for me, I have, you know, those little plaques with phrases all over the house. Mm-hmm. Why? Because words have power to me even in the moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, if I'm upset about something or criticizing someone about some minor thing that doesn't make any difference, and I see a sign that says count your blessings, it just hits me over the head and I think, right, Lord. You're right. I mean, he speaks in so many different ways.
Amen.
This is why internalizing scripture is such a blessing to us all. Those memory verses, they're gold.
Yeah, you can use them in times of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on those who don't struggle with anxiety, but have a loved one, whether it's a child, a spouse, or someone we work with? How can we help them? How can we identify or, you know, how can we love them?
That's an excellent question. And I think it goes back to disputing the ticket to get on the merry-go-round. Mm-hmm. You know, anxiety is one of those things. Life gives you these anxiety producers tickets, and you can look at them, and you could get right on that anxiety merry-go-round. Or you could say, let me look at this a different way. So you can help a loved one reframe a situation. This is what often needs to happen with children because their perspective is limited. Mm-hmm. They are only so mature by virtue of their years. So you can say, well, okay, what does this D on this test mean? What could it be? It could be that perhaps you didn't study as long as you should have. So maybe you need to reprioritize next time there's a test. Or it could be that maybe you studied in the way that wasn't effective. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps you need to listen more closely when they talk about what's going to be on the test. Or perhaps I need to help you with mm-hmm. this next time around. So please talk to me about when that next test on, let's say, pre-calculus mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. So those are the ways that you can help someone who struggles with anxiety. And anxiety has so much to do with perspective. Our perspective of what happens. And so if you can help someone reframe that perspective, mm-hmm. especially if you can help them reframe it according to God's word and what he says about it, that makes a huge difference. So in that case, if you could say to a child, I do believe that you can do all things through Christ mm-hmm. who strengthens you, and that all of this is working together for good. So let's look at this next time around and see, you know, if you can make some changes that are going to be effective.
Can you help us maybe think of your top couple of patterns of thought that lead to anxiety?
The first one would probably be all or nothing thinking. We sometimes think of that as black or white thinking. And this is really perfectionism. This is exhibited by this idea that if I don't have it perfect, it's no good at all. If anything's wrong, it's wrong. And that is not reasonable, and it doesn't express any gratitude, and it doesn't allow for God's ways to be in process, yeah. right? I learn more, frankly, from my mistakes than I do from always getting it right. Most people do. And so, not that I'm promoting mistakes, but I do have to understand God may be using this. His ways are higher than my ways, is what Isaiah says. So, he may be using this. I can't discount the value of something just because there was an error in it. Or you know, I could have a great conversation and then say one strange thing, and I can dwell on that.
That's right.
And act like, oh, I should have never talked to them. I should never have gone there. And that's not truth.
You know, I've seen this play out in folks around me where it's the person who maybe they got a promotion at work in the morning, and then somebody bought them lunch at noon, and they got like a great encouraging email in the afternoon. Yeah. And then somebody cut them off on the road, and it's the worst day of their life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's what you're talking about,
absolutely.
Right? Where it's like really distorting what's going on there. Okay, excellent. So what's perhaps one more of your top ones? Because we don't want to do the whole seminar here. We want people to go to the seminar. So.
Emotional reasoning is one of the top ones.
Huh.
And that is sort of the Descartes, you know, if I feel I am, it's an inversion of that. Mm-hmm. It is my feelings, my emotional reasoning, the way I feel about something is truth. Oh. And the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that our feelings are part of the beauty of the way God created us. They are part of our image bearing of Him, but they are not the lead. According to Scripture, wisdom is the lead. I love that verse in Proverbs 4:7 that says, wisdom is a principal thing, so therefore get wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom has to lead the emotion.
Yeah.
And so it's a combination, wisdom is, of thoughts, of feelings, of serving. It's a dynamic that is different than just saying, this is the way I feel. I feel like that person doesn't care for me. I feel like I messed up. I feel like this is all wrong. Our feelings are not always accurate. They're often not helpful. Sometimes they are helpful. Sometimes they can lead us to empathy and they can lead us to, walking closely with others. But there is a reason why we're to dwell on things that are good and pure and noble and lovely and true. And that's because we don't naturally go there always with our feelings.
Amen. No, this is such good stuff. We could talk about this for hours, if you ask me, but time has run short.
So we'll take you home.
Yeah, just keep her with us for a couple of months, my family. But Crystal Kershaw, Director of Strategic Initiatives for Fieldstone Counseling, and we here on Brian and Janelle Mornings are passionate about you getting counseling. You maybe need it? Go. You think someone else in your life needs it and you need to know more about it? Go. Get counseling. It's normal. It's healthy. It's good. And the folks at Fieldstone love Jesus. And you guys are all over the place. It's not like you have to drive across town. You've got locations everywhere, basically. Not everywhere, but...
We do. We see counselees on the west side in Lakewood, and we have a location close to the West Side Market in downtown Cleveland. We also see counselees in Bainbridge, and our main offices are in just south of Akron in Greene. And then we do remote counseling, so we really can see people from all across the country.
And what if someone says, well, I can't afford counseling, that's way too expensive for me?
Go to our website. We are passionate about the fact that if you need help, we want to help. And so we have scholarship funds available based on need. And it's our desire to help people with God's word, whatever their financial situation.
Hey, hold up. Where are you going? You know you liked your time with us. You want more. So look down, hit that button right there, subscribe, and you'll get updated episodes, and then you can hang some more.
And guess what? You can help us. How? A 5-star rating.
You can also hang with us live, weekday 6 to 9 a.m. Interact with us, talk with us. Download the Moody Radio app.
Or at brianandjanelle.org.
And we don't put all this together all by ourselves. There's some great people behind all this production. We want to thank Ron Eastwood, Kelly Ryder, Paul Carter, Doug Hayner, and our awesome and fearless leader, Josue Villa.
And finally, this podcast is a production of Moody Radio in Cleveland, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.
Well, Brian, that's a wrap.
Yep.